WTLA North Syracuse, WSGO Oswego, W249BC Mattydale, W261AC Oswego, WTKWHD2 Bridgeport, ESPN Radio. Live from Shaughnessy's in the Marriott Syracuse downtown, this is the Adrian Autry Show, presented by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, Davidson Ford and Clay, and Nika IBEW Local 43. Here are Mike Waters, Stephen Fonte, and Coach Autry.
All right, you just heard the Jerry McNamara Show here on ESPN Radio. Got another hour of Cuse basketball talk for you live from Shaughnessy's Irish Pub at the Marriott Syracuse downtown. Stephen Fonte, Mike Waters, Adrian Autry with you up until 9 o'clock. Phone lines are open at 315-437-7644. If you have a question for Red, and we got to start with Saturday's game at Virginia Tech. Another really good win for your team. We saw that last Saturday, Coach Autry, when you guys go to Virginia, you pull out a game in overtime, and in similar fashion this Saturday, it was close, crunch time down the stretch, you found a way to make enough plays.
Right down to the wire. I thought, at the beginning of the game, I thought we attacked the paint a little bit early, and then we kind of stalled, and then Buddy got us going. He went on his Buddy 18-0 run, and I thought that really energized the guys, and we built a lead, and Then we battled back and forth. Virginia Tech, obviously one of the better 3-point shooting teams in the league and in the country. And they made a lot of threes, but I thought we stayed with the plan and we dug in and we got some stops when we needed to. And I think we showed some character.
We'll get to Buddy's run in the first half. We have a lot to get to from this game, but I want to go right to that last possession. So Virginia Tech calls timeout. They cross half court. There's about 7 seconds left, and Coach Beha makes a defensive move, and he puts Barama Sidibe in the game for Joe Girard. You're bigger up top with Elijah and Buddy up top, and then you've got the bigger back line as well for rebounding purposes. Can you kind of take us into that huddle? How did that come about? And how was the decision made? Whose idea was it? Was it, just Jim saying Barama getting the game?
No, that was all me.
Yeah.
I said, Coach, we got to do something. No, that was Coach. Six seven guy on the top of the
Landers Nolly.
Landers Nolly, he was at the top, so he was getting a lot of, whether he was getting shots or he was getting the ball, passed over our zone. So I thought, at the end, I thought, he would be, and I think Coach Vaughn, I think it was that he was going to have the ball, or the shooter. Gee, I'm on to the next person.
Jalen Cohn.
Right. One of those two was going to take the shot, so we wanted to have two bigger guys at least in their face contesting. That had to be his mindset.
The other thing, though, about that.
Having trouble with Mike's Mike. I was going to say Mike's microphone. We'll figure that out. Is that something that you guys have worked on in practice? Having Elijah in a situation like that.
Well, not that situation, but we've had him play, the top of the zone.
Yeah, right. I know he's been in the top of the zone before, but was that just something that spur of the moment, feel of the game, Coach Bam said, I thought this would work, or is that something you guys have in mind for late game situations?
That was Coach.
Yeah.
I thought Coach, I was trying to make sure that these guys were going to get in their defense positions and not foul in those situations, because sometimes, they get the shot off. Sometimes it's not the shot. It's the rebound or the scrap going in that kind of, loses the game or puts you in a situation to go into overtime. So that was what I was really focusing on. That was all Coach. I thought it was, going out into the play. I was like, wow, that was a really good move to be big up top and big all over, to be honest with you. 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", 6'9", 6'10". So, that we had all our height out there.
The last time I could
We're going to get this figured out for you, Mike. There you go. Now I think we can hear you now.
Happy to join the show.
There you go.
It's good to be here. That's the lineup with Elijah at the top that I hadn't seen since the Georgia Tech game back in December. Is that a lineup you use in practice much? Has Elijah seen time at the top of the zone in practice?
We practice. We've always uh, we always switch around lineups in different situations in practice. So that was, you know, he has played the top of the zone for us in practice. A guy that can, you know, he's versatile, so he can play top and bottom. But we've tinkered and played around with different matchups and different sets all the time in practice.
All right, I tell you what, we're having some microphone issues here. Let's take a break. We'll try to get this squared away during the timeout. Give us a call if you'd like, 315-437-7644. We'll get the technical difficulties sorted out. We're back after this, coming to you live from Shaughnessy's Irish Pub at the Marriott Syracuse downtown. It's the Adrian Autry Show. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Live from Shaughnessy's in the Marriott Syracuse downtown, this is the Adrian Autry Show, presented by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, Davidson Ford and Clay, and Nika IBEW Local 43. Here are Mike Waters, Stephen Fonte, and Coach Autry.
All right, we apologize for the technical difficulties. It's like the opponent jumped out to a 10-0 run, and we had a quick. We couldn't even get to the first media timeout. We had to call a quick timeout and regroup.
Quick TO.
All right. So we regrouped. We talked about some things. We got a backup plan.
Coach Autry settled us both down.
So we're ready to rock and roll. Getting back to this Virginia Tech game, and we have so much to talk about. But let's go back to Buddy's performance. 18 straight points for you guys in that first half, and again, it wasn't all three pointers. He finished with 5 threes on the game, but finished with 26 points. He had 5 threes, but also 5 twos. He's made it a point to find a way to get the ball to the basket, get the ball, you know, 15 feet or so, and hit that pull-up jump shot. His game's been great lately.
Yeah, he's been playing really well. He's making people pay for the way they guard him. If you miss him in transition, you give him any breathing room from a three-point shot, he's making that. And when they close out on him, this game we knew from the first game how they guarded us, what they were going to try to do. They were going to try to take us off the three-point line. I thought he did a really good job of getting into the lane and finishing, sometimes getting all the way to the basket. And I thought Elijah did a good job as well. So, the second time around, I thought we had a lot of composure, and we kind of knew where we were going to get our shots from.
You're a three-point shooting team. Virginia Tech does a great job of taking the three-pointer away from teams. So you got to go and attack the paint. How hard is that to play against your strength?
Well, it's things that these guys, we work on, and we expect that. We expect more teams to make a conscious effort. That some do, some don't. But it's something that we work on all day. So I don't think it was hard. These guys, we work on always attacking to the paint. A lot of times, that's how we want to try to create our 3-point shots anyway, by getting the ball below the foul line or into the paint and then kicking it back out. Because like most defenses, they collapse when you drive the ball, and then we try to get step in threes.
You know, Buddy was telling us the other day, we were talking with him in the locker room, and he said that a big difference in his mind from last year to this year is that last year, if he got off to a slow start in games, he might stop shooting, or he wasn't quite as aggressive. Whereas this year, if the first few don't go down, he has enough confidence in himself to keep shooting. Have you noticed that he's, he lets the misses roll off his back a little bit more than maybe he did last year?
I think so. I know so, actually, because of just some of the starts that he's had, the Virginia game where he wasn't making any shots, and then we get into overtime, and then he just gets red hot.
Georgetown comes to mind.
Georgetown, where he started off slower, then he heats up at the end of the in the middle of the second half. So I think a big thing is his teammates. And I think his teammates, they believe in him, and they've always encouraged him, not only just coming from the coaches, but it means something when your teammates are telling you, hey, buddy, keep going, encouraging you to make plays, because, he's a big part of what we do.
We can all understand he's got a great shooting stroke, so we get the three-pointers. But like Steve mentioned, he makes 5 twos on Saturday. He's not the quickest guy in the world. He's not going to blow past his defender. How has he become effective getting that shot of his in the lane or at the free throw line?
When you shoot the basketball the way he does, you're constantly going to have people running at you, and they're not always going to be in control. And so he's always having people run at him, and he can use a shot fake. And if you don't go for the shot fake, it's up. So people are really just selling out, saying, hey, I know he's going to the basket. And he does a good job of using his angles and putting his body in between the ball and the defender and getting it up. So, that's tough when you got a guy that can shoot with his ability to shoot, and you got to try to close space, and he can get it off as quick as Buddy can. That's tough to guard.
26 points from Buddy, and again, wasn't all on three-pointers, and we could say the same thing about Elijah. Elijah goes for 17. He made just one three in this game. It was a big three in the second half after Virginia Tech had just hit one. He comes down and splashes one at the other end. But he also, you know, found other ways to score, and he was posting up and using his size to his advantage. And again, he came up with some big plays down the stretch of that game, but it wasn't from the three-point line necessarily.
No, he got a big three-pointer old-fashioned way, got in the lane, and jumped up and got fouled and made a basket. And, you know, I thought Elijah did a really good job of slowing down. The first game, I thought he was sped up and he kind of settled for some jump shots and forced a couple. I thought this game he made a conscious effort of getting in the lane and taking his time. And we knew he'd have that because they didn't want to leave Joe or Buddy to get going. So, you know, I thought he did a really good job of executing the game plan.
From your position group, Marek Dolezal has yet another double-double. I think it's his third in the last five games or something like that. He's now third in the ACC in rebounding in conference games. How, at 185 pounds dripping wet, is he getting in there and rebounding at the rate he is now?
He has heart. He's a fighter. And he's, you know, and he's quick. He's athletic. He can jump. He moves. He's smart. He knows how to follow the ball. He's active, and he gives you everything he has. So again, I know sometimes, you know, people talk about he's aged 185 pounds, and you get, but he uses the speed. You know, he's smart. He uses his speed, and you got to just go get the ball. And I think he's faster to get the ball than most guys. You know, he can get to the ball quicker than some of these guys.
Staying with your position group, Quincy Guerrier comes in off the bench, plays 24 minutes, provides you with 5 points, 9 rebounds, did get into foul trouble again, but he came up with some big plays down the stretch of that game. There was an and one for Quincy. Again, he provides you some help on the backboards. He was the second leading rebounder in this game. How would you assess his performance from Saturday?
I thought Quincy played really well. I mean, again, I thought he, like you said, he came in, he gave us some energy. You know, he rebounded the basketball. You know, he got two offensive rebounds, which was big, and one of them we turned into a three-point shot. And I thought he, you know, the shot fake and him driving to the ball, finishing in the lane, I just thought he was really good. And I think he's continually to get better. I think the game is slowing down for him. He's starting to understand it as far as on the offensive end of when to attack, when to take a shot, when to pass, and get into the glass. So, you know, I was excited for him.
You know, he had that one great pump fake in the corner and went right to the basket. But a possession or two after that, he had the ball again and he took the three. Did you really want him to take that three, or did you want him to, again, to go to the basket?
You know, you want him to go to the basket because, you know, we knew he had the advantage and he had two successful drives, you know, in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys do things. Obviously, you know, we talked about it after the game. I know Coach talks to him about it, and I think he understands, you know, those are the situations where, you know, he's a mismatch problem. You know, either he has someone too small on him a lot of times, or he has someone too big that's too slow, so he can use his ability to get to the basket and finish. And I think, you know, right now, you know, that's what he has to do. And he's doing more of it, you know. And I remember in the beginning of the year, he still kind of was floating out there on the three-point line. So he's not out there as much. And, you know, and he can shoot the ball. He works at it. But, you know, in those situations, you just got, you know, two successful drives. You got to drive the ball again.
You know, when games turn around, we always think it's the guy that scores the point. Like Buddy has his 18-0 run. Mm-hmm. But when Quincy went into that game early, he gets 8 rebounds in 10 minutes. I felt like he really helped turn the game just by crashing the boards the way he did.
Well, you know, not to take anything away from him, but I think that was the time that Quincy came in. That was our best defensive segments. So a lot of those rebounds were off of misses. You know, I think the biggest rebounds, I think the energy of the rebounds that he was getting was he got fouled trying to go for an offensive rebound, got us a possession, and then he got two offensive rebounds. So I thought that was where, you know, when you talked about the rebounding part of it, I thought on an offensive end, those two were really big because one turned into a three-point play for us, shot for us.
Quincy Guerrier, 24 minutes off the bench. You also got some quality minutes off the bench from Howard Washington. And he came in and, you know, you look at his final stat line and it doesn't jump off the page at you. He had 2 points, he had one assist, he had one rebound, he was 1-for-4 from the floor. But he was in there for that stretch that Buddy went off, and it just seemed in both halves when he came out there, he has this ability to just run the show and calm everybody down, and again, not eye-popping stats, but he was very important to this game, wasn't he?
How he had a, you know, a big effect, like you said, during that run. You know, I know he made one great extra pass. He had, you know, had someone closing out, and he skipped it to Buddy when Buddy was in his rhythm. I think that might have been his last three. I'm not sure, but I think that might have been his last three for that run, for that little 18-0 spurt that he had. And I thought he came in. you know, got the ball where we needed to get to him. And I thought he played good defense, you know, and he got a rebound or two. And that's what we need, you know, that's what we need from the bench. You know, we need those guys to come off the bench, him and Quincy, you know, Bryson, whenever those guys get in to contribute, help us, you know, help to the team. And I thought those two did a really good job, especially the last two games. They've been really solid for us.
Joe struggled, which was one of the reasons why Howard came in the game and stayed there for a little while. But Joe's been on a roll up until Saturday. So how do you expect the freshman to bounce back against Notre Dame?
He'll be ready. You know, the one thing about Joe is he's a competitor. And he comes and he competes. I don't worry about Joe, you know, struggling, so to speak. You know, he might not have, you know, again, sometimes he's a freshman. People forget he's a freshman. And you know, whether he had it going or not. And I just thought Coach Howie at that time with that lineup gave us the better chance to win. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Joe was struggling, that he didn't play that much. You know, I think sometimes it's just who, you know, that momentum, that lineup that was in the game that was getting things done.
Can that be a benefit to a kid like Joe who comes in as a freshman and he's had so much success so soon and he's playing, you know, 35, 40 minutes, it seems like, every game. And in this particular game, things weren't necessarily going his way and he's able to sit on the bench. And can a young guy like that benefit from watching, you know, what's in front of him and have, you know, Jerry next to him getting in his ear saying, see, this, and this? Does it help to remove him from the game every once in a while so he can kind of see the game from a different perspective?
I think it helps everybody. You know, I think everybody at some point in time needs to, you know, to kind of, you know, get a breather, see what's going on, see where you can kind of, you know, get it, you know, get some, you know, coaching from Jerry or coach. So when you go back out there, you know, because you don't always see things when you're playing.
Right.
You see things differently when you sit on the bench. So I think, especially at his position, a point guard, it's always good to get a different view or see how things are going from the coach and then get back into the game.
And I'd imagine, too, that given the competitor he is, if he's getting pushed by a guy behind him, I would imagine that Joe's going to respond to that in practice and like you said, try to come out and be, you know, extra ready against Notre Dame.
I just think, you know, he's a competitor and he wants to win. And obviously, you know, you want to play well, but I think he was really excited for the team win. This group is one, you know, this is one unit, you know, this team, you know, they all cheer for each other. You know, we got guys that are sitting out that are cheering, you know, like they like cheerleaders, you know, Jalen Carey, he's on the sideline. You know, they all, you know, this is really a team that pulls for each other. So, you know, I think, you know, he'll be ready to play because he wants to win.
What was Saturday like for you? Because before you came up here and returned to the alma mater, you coached at Virginia Tech for several years, and I don't know if there's any familiar faces still down there, but it's a place where you live for a long time.
Yeah, definitely some familiar faces, and it's always, good to go back down there and see familiar faces. But I'm really happy that we got the win the last time. The last time we played it last year, I didn't like leaving that place. But, Virginia Tech gave me my first start in college basketball, and, I got friends down there, and I still have friends down there. Some are still part of the program, some are not, but it's always good to kind of go back. I'm not gonna say home, but it's first place that I started.
You know, three game winning streak now, and I know that coaches don't want their teams to get too high or too low during the season, but you know, fans are excited about what's been taking place these last couple of weeks, and it seems like you guys have turned a corner and that you're improving, you're moving in the right direction. How do you, as a coaching staff, how do you process these three wins and how do you put it in perspective for the players?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the winning helps. You know, you want your players to stay confident. You want them to know that, you know, the hard work results in winning. And, you know, we kind of are digging our way out of a not great non-conference schedule, and then not a so great beginning of the ACC. So, and games that we could have won, we didn't win. The good thing about that, I would say, that helped us in these last three games is that they start to understand as freshmen, you know, you can play well and lose if you don't do certain things. You can play well, but if you don't do certain things, you're going to lose. And I think the things that we didn't do against Virginia Tech the first time and Notre Dame the first time here, we're doing those things now, and I think they understand. And I think those things have allowed us to win these last two close games because we lost the other two close games prior to that.
I don't feel like you guys have gotten a lot better because The first loss to Notre Dame was by a point. The loss to Virginia Tech was by four. Now you just beat them by two. But so what are, and specifically, the little things that you've done these last three games to turn the close losses into close wins?
I think, one, we've taken care of the basketball. Mm-hmm. I think when we've – I think defensively we've gotten a little bit better, you know, as far as you know, tagging people and trying to, you know, locate certain people that we want to locate. And I think we're rebounding the ball better. That's the biggest thing. I don't, if you look at the last couple of games, the rebound margins have shrunk considerably. So I think we're playing better defense, rebounding the basketball, and I think offensively we're taking care of the basketball. And when we're not shooting threes, we've shown the ability to score in other ways, whether it's throughout transition, getting steals, or finishing close to the basket.
We use that early timeout. You guys want to take another timeout?
I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired, too. I need to take a drink.
I got the tired signal up.
All right. You need to come out of the game?
We at least
need a timeout. I tell you what, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to Syracuse Pitt, the game on January 25th. So first caller right now that checks in with a question for Coach Autry, you're going to walk away with a pair of tickets to the Syracuse Pitt game. 315-437-7644. We're going to take a timeout. Mike's going to get a drink, get a quick breather. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Live from Shaughnessy's in the Marriott Syracuse downtown, this is the Adrian Autry Show, presented by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, Davidson Ford and Clay, and Nika IBEW Local 43. Here are Mike Waters, Stephen Fonte, and Coach Autry.
All right, we're halfway home on the Adrian Autry Show. Stephen Fonte, Mike Waters, Coach Autry with you up until 9 o'clock. 315-437-7644. We do have a winner. We have two tickets to the Syracuse Pitt game on January 25th for Mike in Liverpool, who joins us now on the show. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Your question for Coach.
Coach, the Syracuse Oranges last Final Four, who were the Final Four other final three participants? That would be 2016, right, Coach?
Yep, it was. Do you want me to answer that question?
Yes, sir.
I think he posed it to you, Red. You're up.
Okay. It was Villanova.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to. Ooh, who's the second one? It was. We played North Carolina. It was Villanova. Was it Villanova, Oklahoma? Oklahoma.
Very good, buddy.
Oklahoma.
Hill. There you go, Coach. Fantastic.
That's sometimes hard for the coaches to get that because you're not paying attention to the other game.
You're not paying attention to the other game.
No. You're like so focused in on SU North Carolina.
On my scout.
Was it your scout?
Oh, yeah.
Great job, Coach.
Thank you.
I appreciate checking in, Mike. 315-437-7644. If you have a question for Coach Ryan Archidiacono, the most outstanding player of that tournament.
And that was also the tournament that ended with Chris Jenkins hitting the last second shot to beat North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
That was an amazing game.
Yeah,
that
shot.
Was a great final.
Yeah, it was a good final.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to get there, but it you know, when you don't win it, it's like you know, it's fun to get there, but it's
so we've heard Coach Boeheim before say that you know, people ask him about, you know, the memories from his career, and he'll say that he remembers the losses more so than he necessarily remembers the wins. Is that true as a coach, that, you know, the losses in the Final Four, like those heartbreaking defeats, do those stand out more than necessarily the successes?
Well, you know, I'm sure that win in 2003 sticks out more than
right.
But you know, he's been there a couple of times where he's had a chance to, you know, obviously the Indiana loss. You know, that's something that, you know, we all, you know, all Syracuse fans still sticks with them. So I'm sure it definitely sticks with him. And then the 96 one, it was just a great run. It was a great run, and you know, that was a really good team. I can't remember how close the game was. I don't know if it was.
It was close till Wallace fouled out.
Yeah, and then after that, it was just like,
I think it was like a 9
just
point,
under 2 minutes left.
Was it like a 9-point margin? I think
final.
But it was close up until when Wallace fouled out.
You know, so you know, I'm sure you do remember the losses, but when you know the wins. to me, the wins, especially those type of wins.
Yeah, right, right. So as a player for you, when you look back on your Syracuse career, are they the wins that come to mind, or are there a few losses that come to mind?
It's some few losses, you know, especially like, you know, your last game.
Sure.
You know, or, you know, depending on what team you're on, if that loss that kind of either kept you out of the tournament or kept you, you know, from advancing to something that, you know, you never experienced, you know, those definitely stick around. Those definitely stick in. But the wins, I remember the win. I try to remember the good times more than better than the bad times.
Glass half full.
I was hosting an event many years ago, and I had John Wallace was there and a couple other guys, and I brought up like a really tough loss, and I realized quickly you don't bring some of these up for these guys because years later it still hurts.
Still stings. Yeah,
it still stings. For the one with John was there. I think Lawrence was there too, and it was the Arkansas game.
Oh, 95. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
was that the one they?
I just
the
about
timeout?
Ended. I almost ended the event accidentally.
Yeah. Was that the timeout? That was. And they got the tech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember watching that one. That was a tough
don't,
one.
Don't let them tell you that they don't. Yeah, the losses they remember.
Yeah, they remember. I remember that one.
Mike, would you like to share your trivia question that you posed to us during the break, or is that something you'd like to keep for?
I'm going
to
hold on to that.
You're going to hold on to
that one. Might be used.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough. That was a good trivia question.
You guys were my test audience.
Yeah, so it was a head scratcher.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that one.
Okay.
The young man in the corner over here had a trivia question for Coach Red.
Yeah.
And that was a good one.
Would you like to repeat that one?
That was the who holds the Syracuse record for most points in a half? And he came over to ask Coach Autry the question.
So how many did you score in that half?
That
Do you remember?
I definitely remember that.
Okay. So tell us the story.
Oh, that was a 31-pointer.
31?
31.
Wow.
In the second half.
In the second half. Yeah. Zero at halftime. I remember that. I remember Coach coming in the locker room and looking at me, going, "What's going on, son? What's wrong?" I was like, "All right, Coach, I got you." You know, and then it was one of those. It was Missouri. Devin Booker,
right?
It was his father. His father, Melvin Booker, was on the team. That was one of the. They had a great year that year. I think they were like number two in the country pretty much the whole year, and we wound up meeting them in the L.A. out in L.A. in the sports. Back then, it was the Sports Coliseum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was just one of those games. It was up and down, back and forth. And I kind of had like one of those little Buddy Boeheim runs, man. Those little spurts where everything just started. The basket got real big. And, you know, by the time I finished, you know, we lost in overtime, close one. 31 points was put up on the board. So.
Did all you could do.
It should have been 33 to 34. They disallowed a basket that he shot from his knees in the lane.
I remember that. I do remember that.
I should have counted. That's every time. I should have counted.
It would have been a basket that would have gone down in Syracuse lore.
Is that one of the losses you remember? We're just talking about the losses.
That is the loss. That was my last one, man. My last collegiate loss, man. So definitely remember that one.
All right. We've got NC State, Virginia here on one of the many TVs at Shaughnessy's Irish Pub. NC State with a 42-39 lead on Virginia. 7:14 to go in the second half. What do you make of this conference? You know, we all know that Florida State's really good and Louisville's really good and Duke's really good. And then outside of those three teams, it seems like it's wide open. It seems like there's a lot of teams on the same kind of level right now. What do you make of this conference?
I think our conference is a reflection of college basketball. I just think, you know, it's you know, you got a couple of good teams. And what I mean by a couple of good teams that, you know, when you look at the roster, you know, they can go 9 or 10 guys and things like that. But, you know, and like most years, you know, I think this year in particular, anybody can beat anybody. You know, like last year, you know, you had the Zion, you had the RJ, you had that star power, you had North Carolina over there with the seniors and experience. You know, I think our league is a little young. This year, I think our league got young this year. You know, you always hear people talk about, you know, having older teams. I think most of the teams in our league are young. So I think that's what, you know, and I think college basketball is young. You know, you don't see a lot of senior lane teams. And the senior lane teams are the San Diego States. Mm-hmm. You know, those teams that you don't hear about a lot. Now they're, you know, in the top 25. Dayton, you know, those teams. Those are the older teams now.
Have you seen Dayton? You bring them up. Have you seen Obi Toppin?
I've seen some highlights of Obi Toppin. I have. You know, Alan Griffin, you know, he used to work there, so he's always, you know.
Touting Dayton all the time.
You know, he spent eight years there, so, you know, he's always, you know, keeping close touch, tabs on him, so to speak. But I've seen him. He's a really good player. really good player.
The last time we were here, we were getting ready for the BC game. We haven't talked all that much about the BC game here tonight, but you guys went out and you played well. You know, BC did not shoot the ball well in that first half. We know that. 0 for their first 18 from three-point range, and you guys were able to create separation and cruise in the second half to an easy win. When you look at these last three games, Virginia game, you guys played really well defensively. BC, you know, they were held to 13 points in the first half, and then, you know, even this Virginia Tech game. Do you feel like the defense is moving in the right direction? You feel like you're taking steps forward on that end of the court?
I think we are taking steps forward. I think we're taking, you know, is it all the way there? No. But it's a start in the right direction. I think we're playing longer stretches of good defense, which is allowing us to kind of create the separation or either stay in the game. So I think that helps us or keep us in the game until our offense gets going. So I think, that's kind of what I'll summarize. That's the last couple of games that our defense has been better and longer in stretches, you know, but still we got to get a lot more better to really try to keep this thing going.
You're getting now midway through January. You're going to be February next at the end of next week. And you got guys like Marek and Elijah Buddy playing a lot of minutes. All three of them played the entire game. Does Coach Boeheim start to restructure practice to give those guys rest then if he's not going to be able to give them rest in games?
Obviously, you know, when you get into this part of the season and the minutes start to add up, you know, you kind of adjust practice, you know, you really take focus into the time and you got to have that balance. And he's been doing it for a long time, so he's really great at it, getting those guys balanced but still staying sharp and still working and getting the work in that needs to be, you know, that needs to have to be ready to get prepared for the next game.
It's funny, individually with minutes, we've gotten used to seeing one or two Syracuse guys play a lot over the year. I mean, Tyus Battle, O'Shea Brissett, Frank Howard a couple years ago was over 38 minutes a game. How is it hard to log those minutes, or with all the TV timeouts and a couple days between games, is it really not that bad?
It was really hard when I played because we didn't have a lot of TV timeouts.
Yeah, sure, Red.
We had to be in really good shape back then.
Yeah, you had to be in a phenomenal shape. No, these guys are in unbelievable shape. You know, with the TV timeouts, I'm not saying it's not, you know, you just got to, these guys are young too. They're 21 and 22. They can run all day long. These guys are in way better shape than we were back then. You know, these guys come into college, you know, stronger, bigger, you know, really, you know, understanding their body. You know, nutrition is really huge now in college. So, you know, I think they have a lot of things to keep them fresh.
315-437-7644 if you'd like to check in. We've got about 15 minutes left on the Adrian Autry Show, and when we return, we'll look ahead. We'll talk Notre Dame. We'll wrap things up right after this. You're listening to the Adrian Autry Show, coming to you live from Shaughnessy's Irish Pub at the Marriott Syracuse downtown. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Live from Shaughnessy's in the Marriott Syracuse downtown, this is the Adrian Autry Show, presented by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, Davidson Ford and Clay, and Nika, IBEW Local 43. Here are Mike Waters, Stephen Fonte, and Coach Autry.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left on the Adrian Autry Show. We've got a good one between NC State and Virginia. Just over 5 minutes to play. Virginia with a 44-42 lead. Wolfpack has not scored in more than 8.5 minutes. That's what Virginia does to you.
That's what they do, man. Oh. Man, they clamping down right now.
A good entry pass, and they had a layup, but the Akiti gets the ball.
Yeah.
Steal.
Yeah.
Virginia's got the ball back up by two. And again, NC State has not scored in more than 9 minutes. NC State 4-3 in conference play. Virginia 4-3 in conference play. Syracuse 4-3 in conference play. There's
a lot of 4-3s.
There's a log jam right now behind the top three in the conference as we begin looking ahead now to this rematch with Notre Dame. Again, it's a team you saw just 2 weeks ago. You guys have had two other rematches recently. You had the rematch, of course, against Virginia. Got the job done there on the road. Rematch on Saturday with Virginia Tech. Chance to go 3-0 in these rematch games. What's allowed you guys to bounce back on the road against teams that you've already lost to this season? In terms of the adjustments, what adjustments, I guess, have you made to beat those teams that you know you had lost to the first time around?
I just think, you know, like we talked about earlier, you know, I think we're improving, you know, as a team, you know, not so much, you know, for one particular opponent. We had to make these improvements to beat anybody, you know. And I just think, you know, obviously I think Virginia, we had a really good game plan. You know, I thought we did some things, you know, little changes there that's really helped us out. But those changes is also continued to help us out improve. And then defensively, you know, and we rebounded the basketball. I think the biggest thing is the things that we were struggling with, and you know, that we talk about, you know, it was a big rebounding discrepancy. You know, we've shrunk in that margin, you know, obviously, you know. And I think we've you know, teams are scoring 70 and 80 points the last couple of games. They've been in the 60s. So I think, you know, that's the, you know, those things, those adjustments defensively have really helped us.
How will those adjustments defensively carry over to Wednesday night when you go up against the Notre Dame team that was 15 of 31 from three-point range against you last time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we, you know, obviously we watched the tape, and you know, we were putting together a game plan, and you know, we're going to try to, you know, obviously, you know, pay attention to some things, and try to, you know, get to those things better and cover those things better. And again, the biggest thing is being active defensively and rebounding the basketball. You know, I think offensively, you know, move the ball, like keep continuing to share it. But everything for us starts on the defensive end and rebounding the basketball.
It's a team that's 11-6, but you know, it almost feels like they're better than their record would indicate. They've lost four of those games by 5 points or less. They lost to BC by one, Indiana by two, NC State by five, Louisville by three. They've been in a ton of close games. You know, they've won a couple, they've lost a bunch. But I think it's a team that's better than 2-4 in this conference.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, veterans, they got veterans in Gibbs and Mooney. So, you know, they've been in wars and battles. You know, you just never know, you know, why, you know, in those close losses, what's happened. You know, maybe somebody was out, you know, I haven't really went back, but definitely a good team. And Notre Dame's always going to be good. You know, as long as Mike Bray's there, they, you know, they're always going to be able to shoot. They're always going to be a good offensive team. And defensively, they make you work just enough.
What do you worry about with John Mooney more? His ability to step away and shoot jumpers or even threes, or is it the rebounding? Because he leads the country in double-doubles. He leads the ACC in rebounding.
I think it's the rebounding and the scoring inside, you know, because they have such good shooters on the outside. So, you know, you can't have him scoring, wreaking havoc down there, and then them out there shooting threes, and when they miss him, he's catching them and putting them back in. So I think for the most part, the inside, you know, inside that, you know, the offensive rebounding, the second chance points, and then, scoring inside. You know, that's you can't have both.
Is he a guy we're going to see playing at the next level?
You know what? I don't know. You know, I've said a couple of guys I didn't think would be at the next level that happened to be at the next level and played a lot. You know, and then there's some guys that I thought would be at the next level that didn't get the chance. You don't know. But when you can rebound the basketball the way he can rebound the basketball, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, it just really wouldn't surprise me. I know he'll play basketball if he wants to continue to play basketball and make some decent money, whether it's in Europe or – maybe the NBA. I don't know.
I mean, from Troy Murphy to Pat Garrity to Luke Cairngorm,
right. Yeah.
They just have like a mold out there in South Bend, and they just bring another 6'10" kid?
I'm sure they sell that. I talk about that. You know, guys that they don't pass the look test when they first come into college, and you know, by after year one, they do a really good job with those guys. So I'm sure they got to sell.
I remember the first time I saw Luke Cairngorm his freshman year, I thought it was a walk-on. And, my God, the kids are
turned into a beautiful
basketball player.
Yeah, he wasn't a walk-on. Shoot, I need to find a walk-on like that. We need to find some walk-on.
Looked like he had
like
walked
that
onto the set of Hoosiers with that crew cut and everything.
How important is it going to be to take care of the basketball in this game on Wednesday? Because you know we talk about how all possessions count, and every possession means so much. It was a one possession game last time you saw him, 88-87. You guys have been doing a great job valuing the basketball. Just four turnovers the other day against Virginia Tech. What is it about this particular team? We've seen two games now this year where you've had only four turnovers. What is it about this particular team in terms of taking care of the basketball?
Well, I think they all are good. You know, good basketball players, you know, good passers, you know, good dribblers. You know, I think Marek, you know, if Joe doesn't have the ball, you know, Elijah's, you know, he takes care of the ball. And Marek, so those three guys that kind of handle it, and Buddy does a good job of getting to where he needs to get to. So just all, you know, all those four guys, you know, they handle most of the ball handling duties, and they just do a really good job of good players.
Notre Dame last time, 26 assists on 31 baskets. Oof. Now, is part of that because they made all the threes, or is this a team that has – are they willing and able to share the ball and with a lot of good passers?
They share the ball. I mean, if you look at, you know, where they ranked at, you know, and up in the conference, I think they average about 18 assists a game, you know, on how many of a field goal. So, that, you know, Mike Brace teams are always good offensively, so they do a good job of sharing the ball and making an extra one. You know, and I think we're doing, you know, a good job of that this year, too, as well, you know, making an extra one. You know, Elijah's a willing passer. We all know Marek's a willing passer. Buddy's a good passer, you know, and Joseph a good passer. So we have guys that are willing passers.
You know, you look at John Mooney, we talk about, you know, leading the country in rebounding. We all know about him. And we obviously just saw this team a couple weeks ago with, you know, Gibbs and Prentice and Rex Pfluger and so on and so forth. Outside of Mooney, who's the guy on that team, that roster, that maybe scares you the most, in terms of their personnel?
All of them.
Yeah, right?
No, Gibbs and Hubs. Hubs been playing lights out, you know, ever since that game. And you know, he's really took a step forward for Notre Dame this year. You know, I think, you know, over the last four or five games, he's up to 20 points a game, shooting, you know, in the 40s from three-point range. You know, so I think him and Gibbs, you know, with Mooney, they're kind of big three, so to speak. Yeah. And everybody else just kind of plays their role.
Prentice Hub hits a big shots in that first meeting. Guys in his face. And
he took some tough ones. He made some tough, quick shots that, you know, he wasn't making, as a freshman. He's making those now as a sophomore. So,
Prentice Hub was the guy that did the step over. Gerard stood over him. Joe obviously was a little motivated after that, but then Prentice came back. Does any of that carry over to the next one? Do guys remember things like that?
I mean, I think you do if it happens again. I mean, you obviously remember, but if you get into a scrum again, then you're like, hey, man, this guy right here, man, what's wrong with this guy? I'm going to joke with Joe. I'm gonna hit him and step over him and say, Prentice, so get him ready to go for the game from the beginning.
What's it been about this team that's allowed you guys to be so good on the road? I mean, you've gone into a couple of hostile environments these last 2 weeks, and at Virginia, at Virginia Tech. Is there something to that? Is there a certain makeup with this team that allows you guys to be successful on the road?
I mean, if you look at the history of Coach Boeheim and all of his teams, they've always been able to go on the road and win. I think that, you know, that starts with Coach. You know, we you know, every game is the same. We try to approach it, you know, no game is bigger than the next, whether you're home or away. And as a basketball player, you love kind of playing on the road and silencing the home crowd. So I'm sure from the player's standpoint, you know, especially when you have some success, they look forward to kind of, you know, hushing up the crowd and stuff like that. But I think, you know, the mindset is, you know, it all starts from Coach. You know, we every game is the same. You know, it's important. Every game is an important game, whether you're home or away, and we keep the same approach. We don't change anything up. We don't do anything different. No different speeches, no different drills. You know, we're consistent in what we do. Obviously, the game plan changes from team to team, but for the most part, he doesn't, you know, I think that just starts from Coach.
When you guys go on the road, do you appreciate some of the atmosphere, the environment? Like at Notre Dame, I think it's a very underrated basketball environment when the band starts playing and the students are going crazy there. But do you like part of that, going in and seeing a different arena and then hearing it fall silent when you make the key three?
Like it. I love it. No, I like, you know, I've always liked to play on the road. Yeah. You know, obviously playing in a dome is something is special. But, you know, you got to go on the road and to see other teams, you know, fan base and their passion and them getting after it, you know, that's exciting for a player.
This is going to sound like a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So we're watching NC State, Virginia here. You guys just came off a win over Virginia. Do you care what happens here? Do you want Virginia to win because you know you just beat them and it looked better on your resume, so on and so forth, or does that not matter to you? You don't pay attention to it.
You know, you do a little bit, but for the most part, we got so much basketball left. You know, we're trying. You know, right now, my focus and our focus is on what Syracuse
doing
needs to do.
What you got to do.
Now, if we were like, you know, 12-1, you know, 15-1, you might say, hey, you know, I hope Virginia wins. But right now, we're just trying to, you know, trying to focus on our team.
50-47, NC State leads it with just under a minute left, 58.2 left. Virginia's got the ball. three-pointer for Diakite to tie. Nope, off the mark, and NC State's got the rebound. So, you know, NC State a chance here to go on the road and knock off Virginia, move to 5-3 in conference play, and you guys have the same opportunity on Wednesday. And I guess as we wrap up the show, just final thought from you, Coach, and keys to what it's going to take to come out with a win at Notre Dame on Wednesday night.
Obviously, rebounding the basketball getting their shooters off their spots and making them uncomfortable. We can't allow them to have that same, you know, make 15 threes and expect to win. Those are the two things that we really want to focus on.
All right. We are out of time. Best of luck Wednesday, Coach. 7 o'clock tip in South Bend. For Mike and Coach Autry, I'm Steve. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.